For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au. We're looking at the healing compassion of God today. So we're going to look through the scriptures, and then when we finish, we can have prayer. If anybody would like prayer for healing, you're welcome to be prayed for today. Praise the Lord, because the Lord is wanting us to be well. He wants us to be strong, and He's commanded us to pray for one another. Praise the Lord. So the healing compassion of God, compassion. Compassion is a deep awareness of the suffering of another accompanied by the wish to relieve it. Praise the Lord. So let's open in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we commit this message to you tonight, Lord. We ask that you please speak to us from the Word of God. We thank you for your compassion, for showing us mercy, for giving us truth in the Word of God, Lord. And we thank you that you have our lives in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So the healing compassion of God. Let's look at Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. Which says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Praise God. So that's talking about his nature. And his nature is compassionate. His nature is good. So let's be thankful, because God is good. Our God is a good God, gracious and compassionate, merciful, wanting to do good to us, and whose tender mercies are over us. Praise the Lord. Now, you remember that compassion is being deeply aware of the suffering of another and accompanied by the wish to relieve it. God is compassionate. He's compassionate. He understands our lives and the things that we face in life. And he's compassionate to help us, to come through it and be victorious in our life. Let's look at Isaiah 57, verse 19. Isaiah 57, verse 19. Which says, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him." We're looking at the healing compassion of God tonight. So God is compassionate to heal us, to keep us healthy, to keep us strong, to keep us free from sickness, free from disease, free from infirmity, free from oppression. God is compassionate to heal us. It says here, "I will heal him," and that he has given us peace. Jesus said that too, that he's given us his peace, not as the world giveth. So Jesus has given us his peace, and he creates the fruit of our lips. So when our lips are speaking good things, good fruit is coming about, is being created, praise the Lord, by the power and the laws that God has set in motion, that he's established. So good words and good believing brings good results. Praise God. So when you receive healing, you can also receive peace about it from the Lord. So he wants to bring you peace and he wants to heal you. Praise God. He wants you to keep you in divine health. He wants to keep you in divine health. Praise the Lord. So that if you are suffering a symptom or an ailment, that he's alongside of you to stand against that thing and have the victory over it, because he's the healer. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, which says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So what that's saying is that Jesus, he understands our infirmities. He's not an unsympathetic Lord. He understands that. He understands these things. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he was tempted, but he did not yield to it. He stood victorious, and so can we. He sought the God the Father's help, and we should follow his example. So we should do as the scripture says and come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that's God telling us to come to him, to get help from him. He will help us. We are instructed to get his help. So he is there to help us and wanting to help us, to give us mercy and grace, to help us be overcomers, to have victory against oppression. Have a look at Matthew 14, 14. Matthew 14, 14. And the scripture says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He was compassionate, and his compassion moved him to heal the sick. Now that's showing us that we can also come to the Lord Jesus, and as the scripture said, we can find grace to help in time of need and mercy. So if we do what these people did in the scriptures and come to Jesus to get help, he had compassion on them and healed their sick, and he has compassion on us, his body. He has compassion on us. He cares for his body, and he has the power to heal. To heal, because he's the head. The power comes from him. The power comes down from him. So he has compassion to heal, and he wants his body strong, and he wants his body healed. He wants his body walking in health and to be well and to be vigorous and full of life. So he wants his body strong. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Have a look at Matthew 9, 35 to 36. In Matthew 9, the scripture says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So you notice here that Christ healed the multitude of every sickness and every disease. And that's a statement that tells you that there was nothing left out there. Every sickness and every disease, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was moved with compassion on them. He was moved with compassion upon the people. He was moved with compassion upon them. And he taught them. He taught them and he preached the gospel of the kingdom, which is, as you know, deliverance from oppression, healing, recovering of sight to the blind, setting at liberty them that are bruised. He taught them the gospel of the kingdom. And he healed every sickness and every disease. So there was nothing left out. So praise the Lord. Every sickness and every disease. So whatever you might say, whatever a person might say, you know, but they've got this or this or this or the other thing, or that's very small or that's very big. It's no problem for the Lord. No problem for the Lord. Every sickness and every disease. Praise God. Look at Luke 6, 17 to 19. Luke 6, 17 to 19. And the scripture says, "And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all." And that's talking about great multitudes coming from all over the place. And that's what it says there, the company and great multitude of people came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases and those that were vexed with unclean spirits. So that talks about physical. We know that that can be physical and mental as well. Vexed with an unclean spirit, and they were healed. They were healed. And it says the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. So that tells you there that they all got healed. Healed them all. Healed them all. That's because the Lord is compassionate and that the virtue went out of him. So that's his healing power, his virtue, which came out of him. So it was actually a tangible thing that came out of the Lord. The power of God came out of him. The virtue came from him and healed them all. So you can be healed by the virtue of Christ, and you can also be healed by the hearing of the word of God. Remember that the Lord taught them. He taught them. He taught them and preached the gospel of the kingdom. So you can be healed with the laying on of hands, where there's that transference of God's power. You can also be healed by you just reading the word of God and believing it and using your own faith as well. Because the scripture tells us that you can do both. You can ask for the laying on of hands. You can call for the elders of the church. You can use your own faith. You can get in agreement with another believer. There's a number of ways to receive healing. So God in his mercy has done that, because he will meet people at where their level of faith is at. He'll meet people where their level of faith is at. He'll come to your level if you exercise your faith. If you believe that he's able to do it for you and find the scripture that you can believe. You believe the word of God and then do it. He will come and meet you at your level of faith. So Christ's virtue, his healing power healed the multitudes. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And that shows the desire of the Lord and his nature and his power, his willingness to heal. Have a look at Matthew 20, 29 to 34. Let's read these scriptures. Matthew 20, 29 to 34. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men were sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And they followed him. So if you notice here that Jesus had compassion on these people. Well, the Lord Jesus hasn't changed and his power hasn't changed. So if he's willing, was willing to do it for these people that we read about in the scriptures, he's willing and able to do it for us, his people, today. He's willing to do it today and he has the power to do it. So people understood that in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, they identified, they recognized that Jesus had the power to heal, and they went to him and they were healed. Those that used their faith in him. And that's what these blind men did. Notice that even though people tried to discourage them, they would not be discouraged. Because they believed Jesus was able to do it and they wanted to receive it of him. Jesus was very clear to them and very plain in what he said there and wanted them to express to him exactly what it was they wanted, because the Lord wants you to be specific with him. He wants you to be specific. So if you've got a specific need, tell it to the Lord and ask for the Lord's help. Be specific about it. If it's something, some particular point that you need help with, be specific with the Lord. And then you demonstrate, you use your faith to get help from God about that specific need that you have, just like these men did. So they told him, specifically, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And they received their sight and followed him. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. So he wants you to be specific and he will meet you at that point of your need. Praise God. Let's have a look in Mark 1, verses 39 to 42. Mark 1, verses 39 to 42. Let's read that. "And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Praise God. Do you notice here that this was an instance of specific healing there? Oh, that the leper, the man who had leprosy, wanted his healing and demonstrated that to the Lord, saying to him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And do you know that will work with any ailment that you have? Any sickness, any disease, any problem, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And do you notice that the Lord straight away said, and was moved with compassion on him, put forth his hand and touched him. See, the Lord wasn't put off by the leprosy. He touched him, leprosy and all, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And do you notice there that immediately the leprosy departed from him? So the leprosy moved, it departed. That particular disease, and that's caused by a bacteria, that particular disease departed from him. And he was cleansed. So his flesh became cleansed. He was cleansed immediately. So the Lord's power is not limited by these diseases and sicknesses. And it didn't stop the Lord. It did not stop God. It did not stop Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's a lesson for us even today. It did not stop the Lord. He put his hand on the man, disease and all. And the disease departed from him. Praise God. So that's a lesson for us today. And we need to put our faith in the Lord. Put our faith in the Lord. We can't let these things stop us from doing what God wants us to do, from ministering and from asking the Lord for help, from seeking help from the Lord. So the Lord had compassion on that man and he healed him. Praise the Lord. Notice that the man came to the Lord for help and told him specifically what he needed and what he wanted. Let's go to Mark 9, verses 17 to 26. Mark 9, verses 17 to 26. The scripture says, And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When thou Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Do you notice here that, and I'll read 27, sorry. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So he wasn't dead. He was delivered. Praise the Lord. Delivered. Delivered. There's a lot to be understood and to be taken away from this passage. Because this boy, this child was this young man was afflicted with an evil spirit, dumb, and obviously causing him to have these episodes which actually put him in a very perilous situation and showed these physical manifestations, the foaming, the gnashing of teeth, going into the fire and the water, and he wasn't able to talk because the scripture says he was dumb. So he was being really oppressed by this evil spirit. And the father was very honest with the Lord and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So you notice that he appealed to Christ's mercy for help, to help even with his believing. Because he obviously believed enough to bring the child to, firstly, the disciples, who weren't able to do anything, and then come to Jesus, who actually rebuked the disciples, who actually, he said a word of rebuke about that, and he had compassion on the man and questioned him about it, and then rebuked the spirit, quite directly rebuked the spirit, the evil spirit, and said and did a work that was a complete work and said, enter no more into him. So the thing was coming out, going out, and not going back in again. And if you went by appearances for shortly a time after, he was on the ground as one dead. And people were saying, he's dead. But he wasn't dead. He wasn't dead. He was delivered. He was delivered. He arose. The Father appealed to Christ's compassion and to his power. So we can learn lessons from this. Go to the Lord and be honest with the Lord. If you need help with your believing, just be honest with it, because the Lord has the answer. Now, the Lord said to us, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you will just take the effort to put the scriptures into your heart, it will put you into that place where you can come to the Lord and you're ready to receive. You're ready to receive. If you fill your heart with the scriptures, if you take that time, like if you look at these people in the New Testament, they made the effort to come to the Lord. Well, that's what we're doing, by making an effort to come to the scripture, which is the truth. The Lord said, thy word is truth. So if you come to the scriptures and fill your heart with them, you're in a position to receive from the Lord, because your faith is being built up. Have a look at Luke 7, verses 11 to 15. Luke 7, 11 to 15. And it came to pass, sorry. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Do you notice here that this came about through the compassion and power of the Lord? A dead man was raised up. A dead man was raised up. He was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So he had compassion on not only to give that fellow a second chance at fulfilling his life on the earth, but also the widow, because the man would have been responsible for caring for the widow. She had nobody else. So you notice that there was compassion on her, on the man and the woman. There was compassion here. And God, Christ raised up the dead man. Do you know, that's really encouraging to us. Because for anybody who says, I've got such and such a condition, it's so bad, the Lord can't help me. Well, do you know what? The Lord raised up a dead man. He raised up a dead man. And nothing is as bad as that. Praise the Lord. So let's have a look at Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9, and we're looking at this because God cares about our mental status. He cares about the state of our minds, our souls, which is the mind, will, and emotion. Because the state of our soul affects us. It affects our behavior. It affects our physical health. And it is the place that the devil targets, because he fires his fiery darts at our souls, our mind, will, and emotions, looking for a place where he can get a place where he can get a foothold into our life. So let's read this in Philippians 4, 6 to 9. The scripture says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So the Lord cares about our mental state, the state of our souls. He cares about that. And the soul is something that you have to renew yourself. It is transformed. Like the scripture says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the soul is something that you have to keep on top of by renewing it with the word of God, because it is the place where the devil will fire his darts. It is the place where you see and hear what is going on in this wicked world. So you have to keep on top of it by keep washing it with the water of the word of God, renewing it. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, you are a saved person. Your spirit is saved. Your spirit is holy. You are born again after the image of God, recreated in his image, with that spirit that is holy like God's is. Your mind, will, and emotions, your soul, that is something that has to keep being renewed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, the scripture tells us. And the scripture does that for you. It washes you. It is the water of God's word. It washes away things. And you need to keep doing that. And the Lord has told you what to think on. In verse 8, he's given you a list of things. And he's also told you what to do, told us what to do. Be careful for nothing. So, in other words, don't be full of cares about these things. This is what you should do. This is what you, not what you should do, this is what you must do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, your hearts and minds will be kept in God's peace when you do that. So God is telling us to come to him, make your requests to him, and receive his peace. It will keep you in a safe and good place. Praise the Lord. So you do what God has told you to do. And let's finish with Isaiah 26 verse 3. Isaiah 26 verse 3, which says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So, you know, God, he can heal our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and he brings it peace. He brings it peace. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." So for all those attacks upon the soul, God has the solution. God has the solution. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So trusting in the Lord is the key to being kept in the peace of God and staying your mind on the Lord. God has healing for us. Spirit, soul, and body. He has compassion upon us, and he wants us to be healed. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be living in the peace of God. Praise the Lord. So let's think on these things that we've learned tonight. Let's close in prayer, and then let's pray for anybody who would like healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we give you thanks for the power of your word, for the love of God, the compassion, your compassion to heal us, to keep us in peace. We give you praise and thanksgiving for the power of God and the virtue of God. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given to us and done to us and wanting to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.